I hope you're sitting down, eyes peeled, ears open, and whether you want to or not, let me talk to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Wrestling World Podcast Network, the WWPN, the world famous. Yeah, you know what? That's enough. That's enough names. You got with me Josh Perry, Mr. VJP himself. Josh, what's going on?
Doing okay. It's been a long week, but Friday evening here, as I could not record last night due to work. Thankfully, I'm off work tonight, so happy to be recording some Let Me Talk to You with your. With you here, Hayes, and we have an episode in which I believe we are going to see things very differently, but before we get there, should we go over some news first?
Sure, let's go over news, which the first part that I would like to go over is this stupid logo, this new Impact Anthem logo with this eagle, and like you pointed out on Twitter, this whole having a center logo on on a six-letter word, it's one of the most hideous things I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, and that's not hyperbole. Like, seriously, that thing is hideous.
It's awful. I mean, it's like, so like what I said on Twitter was that it's an even numbered logo and they try to take out one of the letters and make it the center. You can't do that with an even numbered name. I mean, you can't. Who designed this? I'm just going to simmer down, because it's like, I have to see this now. I mean, because it's like, they have really pushed this. I mean, as you probably could tell from Twitter, they've changed their name now. It's not TNA Impact anymore. I think TNA as a name is done for good, which is, I think that's a good thing. It's disappointing because, like, I don't have the LOL TNA thing that everybody else does, but I appreciate the lineage of TNA and the history of TNA. And it's disappointing to see all that just kind of thrown out the window. But at the same time, I think it's a smart move for the company. But, I mean, replacing it with the eagle and being like Anthem Impact, I mean, just stay behind the scenes. I mean, I didn't understand the necessity of this.
Yeah, and then the question remains is, are they now going to redo all the titles? Because every title, I think, except the Grand Championship, all have TNA all over them. Like, so what do you think is going to happen there? Are we going to get new titles here over the next couple of months?
I would really hope not. I think that the TNA World Heavyweight Championship looks great. I think the Impact Grand Championship might get a tweak because, I mean, that came out. I mean, it's so interesting to see the lasting effects of, like, Billy Corgan's fingerprints are still all over the show. And so it'll be interesting to see how those either get phased out or they try to evolve them. But one of those being the Impact Grand Championship, introduced with that old logo. So I think that the Grand Championship might get a new logo. They might do away with that belt altogether. I don't know. Get rid of the rules system. I mean, they've made so many moves backstage, and I mean, I'll get into one of them that I saw today, but you know, I feel good about them and I feel bad about some of them. But one thing I definitely feel good about, and I don't know if you saw this today, Don West is back in TNA, and I cannot wait for this. If we could get
are you serious?
Don West is back, bro.
On
the Impact Wrestling YouTube page, there is a advertisement for a sale that's going on this Monday at Shop TNA. And it says, like, you know, it's normal, like, says, you know, you can get upwards of 90% off the stuff, whatever. And then at the end, Don West says, I'm back. And it's, I don't understand why he's in an ad for this, but I am just so excited for this. If we can just get him behind the booth, get Pope the fuck out of the booth, move Borash in there. I mean, look, that is a move that I totally support Anthem with, and so I'm happy to be the bearer of good news here for you.
Yes, this is honestly something that I've not looked at wrestling news really at all today, except earlier in the morning, which the only thing that I saw was just more talk about Aaron Rex's new character. But yeah, I'm looking now. This is amazing. Like, Russo's next. You might as well prepare yourself. They're bringing back the old guard.
Opinion, this fucking episode felt like a Russo episode. But I mean, Look, I'm happy. Look, it's Jeff Jarrett. You got, you know, it's like you bring him back this old guard that was the pre-Hogan, you know, pre-Bischoff, pre-Russo days. And, you know, I just can't wait for that, man. I'm really looking forward to that.
So my question is, do you think Tanae is coming back? Can they get Tanae?
See, oh my God, I couldn't. It blows my mind that guy's not employed by anybody. I know that he is willingly doing. I think he's doing like sports betting now. He's got his own sports betting podcast. He does lots of sports betting stuff in Vegas. So, I mean, if he's happy with that, then I don't see him returning. Especially because, I mean, TNA, it's not like they're going to be offering him a hell of a lot of money or anything. Because they don't. I don't know if they really have that much behind them. But if they could get him back, that would just be fantastic. So, I mean, if not Tanae, Borash is just sitting there. Not, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's producing and doing a lot of stuff, but that guy is so talented. You just get Don West, Borash behind the announce table, boot these two J-Brones that are in there right now, and I think it'd be a much better show.
Wow. Like, that literally just, I don't even know how to really react to this. I'm so happy right now that we can get some actual good commentary back on Impact Wrestling that I don't know. Man, I'm really excited about that. Thank you for that, Josh. Thank you for that good news. I know this episode is going to be one hell of an episode, but I'm glad to start it off this way.
Well, I'm happy to do that. Now, lastly, before we get into the episode, there is a little bit of news surrounding Drew Galloway in that he still has not re-signed with the company and his contract expires in mid-February. He said that on the Ross report that he is going to look at other options. He's going to weigh a bunch of options. Is this the last month that we see Drew Galloway in TNA?
You know what? Honestly, and that's part of the issue that, well, not issue, but that sucks for TNA is that Drew Galloway had such a year to where, you know, people are saying that he really completely redid himself. He's looked at like a legit star now, and he comes back from injury and shortly after his contract's ending. I honestly think WWE would be crazy not to sign him. They're in signing mode. They're familiar with him. He's someone that they can bring right to their main roster because he's been in that system before. And considering that they need bodies specifically on SmackDown, all those reasons I just listed, I'm leaning towards this is it for Drew Galloway and TNA. Unfortunately, I think him, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole are all going to be in WWE/NXT within the next few months.
This time last year, Galloway was so hot with that belt, coming out of the World Title Series, touring around the world. I mean, he was on fire, and I think he was a great champion in his run in 2016. And I think the TNA had a big hand in his development. And I mean, he really came out. He's a main eventer, and I think he should have stayed there the whole year. I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle after Slammiversary, which is really disappointing because he's one of the most talented guys on the roster, and I do think that he will go by the wayside come mid-February, and I agree with you. WWE would have to sign this guy. They would be crazy not to. So I guess we'll be seeing the return of Drew McIntyre sometime in 2017.
Yep, and it's going to happen. Just hopefully that they do right by him wherever he goes, because he's proven over 2016 he's a legit draw, he's a legit star. I just hope that he's booked that way no matter where he ends up. I hope he continues to be booked well and to be able to be in a world title picture, because he more than deserves it.
Absolutely. So are you ready to get into this episode, or do you have anything else you would like to discuss?
No, I mean, everything else that I want to talk to you about is in this episode, so let's get to it.
We're not going to run this one down all the way. So for myself, I absolutely hated this episode of Impact. I hated it. I thought it was bland. I thought it was bland at some point, bland at best, and downright god-awful at certain points. Obviously, when I'm saying, I think it's obvious, but apparently you're not alone in loving this, or at least giving it a chance. I will not give this Liberace gimmick a chance with Aaron Rex. I won't do it, okay? There's no reason in 2017 we should be having a flamboyant character with a lisp and an elevated voice trying to draw heat over the fact that he is so flamboyant and, you know, possibly gay. I mean, if he is impersonating Liberace, who was a closeted homosexual, then he is acting like he's gay. So it's just, I absolutely despise this, and I just am embarrassed that I had to watch it. But I will hear you out, because you did enjoy it so much. I do like the pairing, and when I first saw it, I was excited, but as soon as his mouth opened up, I could not stand another second of it.
Be prepared, because this is going to be what Broken Matt Hardy was for me last year for you. I believe that. I was so against Broken Matt Hardy. I came completely around. I say 3 months from now, you're into it. Like, that's just my prediction. Hopefully I'm right, because this crap is amazing. Like, and Sandow, Aaron Rex does... He gets everything he does over. He makes everything he does believable, because he gets all the way into the characters and he makes it fun. I can understand why you're a little bit against this promo, because it's just him out there cutting it, not really against anybody, just cutting promo, talking. I can't wait to see when he's actually in a contrasting position, or in a position where he has to come up against someone who just looks at him like, what the hell? I know we did get Robbie E to come out. I have my issues there, but I mean, just imagine Bobby Lashley reacting to this gimmick. Hell, imagine Drew Galloway reacting to this gimmick. I think there's a lot that's going to happen here. I'm excited for the storyline possibilities, and as far as the character, I like anything that makes something unique and different, and that's something that Rex has been able to do over his whole career. He has these characters that when you look at in a vacuum, you think there's no way in hell that's going to get over, but he makes it doable and he makes it believable, and so that's why I'm behind. If you just pitch the character itself to me, I probably would be in your standpoint now too, but because of the guy who's doing it, I firmly believe that he's going to be able to pull this off, and I'm excited. The pairing itself, like you said, it's a great pairing. I can't wait to see. And the fact that we already have Rockstar Spud playing off, I've never quit anything in my life on Twitter after he quit last week. I just think this is going to be a lot of fun. And that's how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at this ride that we're going to take over the next year, or however long this character is going. And this, again, is something that TNA is doing that no one else is really doing. It's not new to wrestling. We've had flamboyant characters like Goldust for all of wrestling. I mean, the list can go on and on of characters we had like this. But I believe in Aaron Rex. I believe that he can get this over. And I, for one, I enjoyed this promo. The whole rings thing and the lipstick and the flesh-colored tights that I just couldn't stop laughing at. To me, there was a lot here that I got enjoyment out of. And for entertainment purposes, I can't be against it. I'm really surprised that you hate this as much as what you do.
All right, so a couple points. I didn't hate this promo because it was directed at nobody, or it was just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, I don't like the fact that this character change just came out of nowhere with no context given as to why or anything, really. But what I hate, it's the characterization. It's the idea that a flamboyant man should be mocked like this, and to the point where, you know, that should be what draws boos. You know, the fact that this man is flamboyant and he's out there, he's wearing makeup. You know, I mean, that I hate this so much. I mean, it's 2017. It's offensive to me that this is being used to draw heat. I mean, it's not, you know, 1997 with Goldust.
So wait. And I guess I can understand if that's your standpoint, if it's only using the flamboyant and the homosexual tendencies to kind of draw heat. But I don't think that I don't take that as what they're doing. If that is, then it is offensive. I 100% agree with you if that's what they're doing. But I think his heat is more being drawn of him and Rockstar Spud being in denial, and the whole using the rings to give the loaded punch. I think that's where the heat's going to come from. Not necessarily just because he's flamboyant. At least just maybe that's just me being hopeful and trying not to look at it like that in that way. But I agree with it. That can be offensive. They're using strictly being flamboyant to draw heat. I agree with you there.
Look, he can get the heat that you're talking about without this lisp, without this makeup. Okay, drop the makeup. Speak like a normal. Speak like you normally do, and you know, just have him and Rockstar together drawing heat, because they would be fantastic in the pompous, heelish, you know, dickish way. You know, like we was Ms. Dow. I mean, it could be a similar dynamic to that. And I think that would be perfectly fine. But there was a reason behind, you know, the makeup, and, you know, the makeup is supposed to be mocked. You know, the voice is supposed to be mocked. it's just that to me, the fact that I interpret that as being the central point of the mockery. And I mean, they could do the whole, you know, out of nowhere, you know, they're in denial thing without any of that. So if they just dropped it and I never saw it again, I'd be very happy. But if this, I have to watch this every single week, I don't know how much more I can take of it. So let's move on to something else, though. To another part of the episode. Give me another part that you liked about this episode.
Another part that I like. Well, I love the main event, but I want to wait to give that out. I enjoyed the opening, the Last Man Standing match. Was the Last Man Standing? Is that the right? Yeah, Last Man Standing match between Lashley and EC3. I enjoyed it. Now, I did read on the internet and on wrestling websites that this match was saved by editing, which I texted you about when you told me you were watching it. I just hear that Lashley actually botched a lot in this match, and you know that didn't come through in the editing. But I enjoy EC3 and at Lashley almost any time they're in the ring together. I know you weren't as high on this, so I'm prepared to hear why you hated this, and let's go ahead and break down this match. What's going on here? Why did you not? Well, it's not that you hated it. You just said it didn't really do it for you.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I mean, it was just. It was such a conventional Last Man Standing match. There was, I mean, some of the moves were like a little botched. The selling I didn't think was great. I thought, okay, to rewind, I think that the promo before and throughout the match, Lashley looked fantastic. I think Lashley outdid EC3 on the mic prior in this opening thing. I'm starting to sour on EC3 as a face, and I hope that these continued losses will turn him back into a heel, because he's just kind of going out there being, you know, kind of catering to the fans, but, you know, not in like a creative way or anything. He's just, you know, sitting over next to them and asking them questions and making pop culture references. And it's just very lame to me. And I feel like the shark is starting to jump the shark. I don't know how that works, but I'm starting to sour on EC3, and I didn't really particularly care for his work in this match either. I thought his selling was poor. I thought that him losing that 10 count going through the table was so out of nowhere. It didn't really make sense that he would be down longer than Lashley after Lashley had taken so much beating and they both just went through tables. Why could Lashley get up a 9 and EC3 couldn't get up a 10? Because a lot of the moves, I mean, these guys killed themselves out there. A lot of mat slams from Lashley onto the not the wrestling ring, but the actual mats outside. I mean, some good stuff like that, some good stuff on the ramp. But I mean, and the chair shots from EC3 to Lashley outside of the ring were also nice, but I don't know. It's the lack of selling, just nothing but power moves. I didn't really get into this match.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand all your points there, especially the lack of selling. And to piggyback off something else that you said, EC3 as a face, it seems like he's lost the magic. The first 4 months of his face turn, I think, were absolutely great. It was a great way to turn someone from heel to face. I loved it. But it seems like they've kind of just, because they've hesitated to put the title back on him, I guess they want him to go through these trials to kind of make it feel earned when he finally does get it. At least that's just what I'm assuming. But it does seem like some of the magic and the luster is worn off on EC3 being a face. And it's like the writers just don't know what to do with him. Me and you both talked about it, and we both loved how they didn't make him just the super baby face all of a sudden when he turned face. It was kind of earned. And then the people who he turned against turned on him. But I would say probably after the Drew Galloway feud or even a little bit before then, it's kind of just steadily went downhill. So I completely agree with you there. As far as the match itself, it was a Last Man Standing match, so all of the power moves and the no selling and things, maybe that's just my taste. It didn't bother me so much in the story that they were telling, the fact that both of these guys are just monsters. They're just brutal. They're probably the most over people on the roster as far as kayfabe wise. So I guess that didn't bother me as much in that sense. But you know, Lashley here looking like a monster again, getting up, being able to beat EC3 by just that second to get the win here. I think it was a good story told. I think it made sense when you look at how they want to book Lashley. So it's just that I see the same things you did, but I guess I just see him in more positive light than you do. So, I mean, our opinions really don't vary that much on the mat. What happened in the match itself is just our enjoyment over it. And I thoroughly enjoyed this match for what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just it was sloppy at times, and yeah, I just wasn't exactly into it. But, you know, agree to disagree, and it's pretty much the definition of agree to disagree, because we do actually agree, but we disagree on our thoughts about the match. But anyway, that's another thing that I wanted to... Yeah, and another, it's subjective art form. Another thing after that was Eli Drake backstage beating up on a camera guy. He's sticking with Tyrus now after one night only, which I still haven't sought out, and I guess you can get into that as well, that pay-per-view and how that went down. But we did have Eli Drake saying that he's not going to talk anymore. And look, I think that this is a great way to draw heat. I really do, because I am pissed off about it. I'm getting mad, and I want to. It's a great way to have Drake as a heel, but at the same time, I think that he was occupying a lane that was just so. I always compared him to The Rock because he was occupying such an entertaining heel lane. But now he's going down the path of actually drawing heat as a heel because people will want to hear, you know, him talk and him on the mic. So I'm disappointed that we won't be getting any more of the dummy or anything like that, because it was a relatively short run in all saying. I mean, it was over 1 year, so I'm a little bit disappointed, but we're going to be without Eli Drake for a while, and it's been consistently one of the better things about the show, so that makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Drake, I mean, we both talked about it. We both love Eli Drake to the moon. Like, I love his character. I love his work. I love everything that he did in 2016, and, you know, to not get him to talk, that's his strongest thing. So why do that? What I'm more concerned about is this pairing with Tyrus. Even though I've seen the one night only, it's still I don't understand the pairing there. I mean, you would think at some point Tyrus would just be tired of being a lackey. Like, he's pretty much been one his whole TNA career.
I'm tired of Tyrus.
you're just tired of Tyrus altogether.
I mean, I've never found him entertaining. I'll be 100% honest. Brodus Clay was entertaining for a cup of coffee. I haven't liked anything he's done in TNA. There's nothing to his character. He's just the big guy. Well, outside of obviously the fixer and the commercial and all that, that was pretty funny. But I mean, him as a character, I've just never, ever gotten into him.
Yeah, and then they didn't do anything with the whole fixer thing. Like, they did like what, like two segments with, who was it?
Grado
was it
Grado? And
Shira. Yeah, that used it. That's probably why I don't remember it much. And then it just went away. That whole fixture thing, that commercial was awesome. Like, that whole thing, I don't know why they didn't keep that gimmick. It seems like, you know, Tyrus, they don't really ever know what to do with him except making him a lackey. That's the only thing they can do with him consistently. I enjoy Tyrus in the ring, but, you know, who knows? I don't think Tyrus, in a world where Moose and Bobby Lashley are signed to TNA and some of the other people they're bringing in, I just think Tyrus is not long for Impact Wrestling past 2017.
Well, nothing past, or, outside of Tyrus, you know, what do you think about Eli Drake? We're not going to get him anymore. I mean, it's a great way to draw heat, but is it the right move to make?
It depends on how long they keep it going. I mean, I understand that's the whole gimmick now. That's what they're saying now. But I don't think they can stick to that the whole year. At least I hope that they won't, because I don't know. So I don't like it. If you can't tell by just my flusteredness right now, is that I don't like it at all. I'm trying to think of a way to word it other than just saying I hate that idea. Like you said, it's a good way to draw heat, but it's not the way I would want to see him draw heat consistently.
Yeah, and it's I hope that I don't know. I mean, because it's not even like in the Impact Zone, I guess, as more actual fans of the show started coming in, he was starting to get some cheers. But I never actually thought that he was, you know, getting like face reactions so much in the Impact Zone. So I don't really see the necessity of this. And I think it harms the quality of the show overall. But on the other hand, it is a good heat drawer, and it'll be interesting to see some development for Eli Drake outside of that gimmick. So I have hope, because I find the dude so wildly entertaining, and I find him very talented. So I look forward to seeing what happens,
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Do we know when Eli Drake's contract runs out? Is he one of those guys who are going to be up in mid-February, March area? Because if it is, maybe that's why they're doing something like this. I don't know. But Eli Drake is another one I think WWE is going to be crazy not to scoop up immediately whenever he's free. So do you know, as far as anything, like how much longer he's under a contract?
Haven't read. I just saw the Drew Galloway thing because it's in the news and it came up. I have not seen anything about Eli Drake either. That because maybe he's not as big of a name as Drew Galloway. But still, like you said, you got to think WWE would be interested in this guy. He's good on the mic. He's got a good look. He's definitely serviceable in the ring. I don't want to call him, you know, I don't think he's one of the better workers they would have over there, but I think he's definitely a good wrestler overall, and he's very talented, and he's consistently been one of my favorite parts of the show. So you got to think that they would be interested. I would hope that TNA sees, you know, what they've created in Neil Drake and what they have in him to actually compete for him, because I think that this guy is a star and he needs to be treated as such.
You already know I agree with you 100% there.
Well, something that hopefully we can agree on that is awful is DCC, the Death Counts Council. They're, I guess, feuding with Decay now. And they go backstage, you know, it ends up they go backstage. And we don't really get anything about what happened backstage. They just continued to brawl outside of the ring and backstage. It was a pretty passable match that ended with some interference and a water bottle being hit on somebody's head. I mean, this was a mess to me. I just wasn't this match. I think that Decay is great, but they have nobody really to feud with. And who's the faces here? Who are the heels? Is Decay, you know, Rosemary can't be a face against DCC and then a heel against Jade. That doesn't work. And people want to cheer for Decay because they're so cool and everything. But at the same time, they're heels. So, you know, salient to mention that they should be drawing heat. And DCC, people are just indifferent towards them. So it's like, this is such a bland program that it's not going to help anybody. Certainly as evidenced by this dud of a match.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. This thing is complete bull. DCC needs to just go away. I care nothing about any promo they cut. Like, I'm in the promo they cut before the match, it was decent. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be completely down on it, but I just don't care. I don't care about their storyline. I don't care about why they're doing what they're doing. I don't care about this feud with Decay. I feel like Decay's being wasted, being in a feud with this crap of a program. Like, it's DCC really just needs, they need to just put these guys away. Hopefully Decay just completely murders them where they just are off TV for another week or so, or maybe a month or so, and then they can come back with fresh characters, because this DCC thing is DOA. That's what it is. It's DOA.
Oh, very cute. Very clever. Look, all three of these guys are super talented, but they have absolutely no chemistry together whatsoever. It's like NWO 2000, which was like Jeff Jarrett,
oh, God,
Nash Hall, and Bret Hart. Like, all these talented guys together, and it doesn't look like they would hang out if you forced them to. If you locked them in a room, they wouldn't know what to talk about. I mean, it's the same thing with this DCC. I'm supposed to believe that Bram, Eddie Kingston, and James fucking Storm came together and said, hey, you know what would be good? If we just put on masks and act like Anonymous, and, you know, we just started beating people up. Like, give me a break. This has just been, this has been bad the whole time that it's been in. I was initially excited for it. Jumped the shark so quick, and it's like, God, it's this first hour was so bad on the show. In
do
my
you
opinion,
think?
But.
Do you think that DCC would have been better served had they not unmasked as early as what they did?
Well, yeah, obviously, because it was, that was the entire allure, was the mystery behind them. I was, you know, there was execution errors, like trying to have them cut promos with the it's overlaid in the speakers, you know, it's being phoned in, you know, from the robot voice thingy, and them like trying to pretend to like move their face or something. That was poorly executed, and it really harmed the gimmick, but they just destroyed the gimmick whenever they just took the masks off. Now it's like, we don't know why you're wearing masks. We don't know why you're wearing these suits. I think that this was again, this is a Corgan fingerprint left on a show that's not run by him anymore. And I think that he had a plan for them, and that plan is gone with him. And they've had to try to come up with something else for these guys. And there is just there's nothing going on here, and it's got no heat behind it at all. I don't think this thing lasts for more than 3 months, thank God, because it's just definitely a low point every week.
Yeah, it's time. Like I said, you know what? We're spending more time talking about DCC than what they're worth. FDCC. Let's move on.
Well, I mean, there was also Mike Bennett versus Braxton Sutter.
Oh God!
Nothing match. I mean, come on. I mean, like the backstage segment with Ali Marie was fantastic. I was so happy. I saw Ali Marie. I was like, thank you, Lord. Finally, we get like Ali and Maria, which has been one of the better stories. They're both performing so well. But then it's like we have to sort this out in a Mike Bennett versus Braxton Sutter match. It's like, God almighty, can we get some sort of characterization for Braxton Sutter outside of, you know, Allie likes him and he likes Allie. And like he just goes out there, picks up the fluke win on a roll-up, and it's, you know, I'll cheer for Allie, but I need more with Braxton Sutter, and it doesn't help that it's a nothing match. It's just another dud. It's a 5-minute match that accomplishes nothing. It's not amazing in the ring, and it's just like it's supposed to build to this feud between Allie and Maria, which I'm just interested in Allie and Maria. I'm not interested in Mike Bennett and Braxton Sutter. I'm just not. Mike Bennett is another guy that I'm starting to just, I'm not souring on him, just becoming indifferent about him because I think he's lost some steam over the course of 2016. Near the end of that year, I think he lost some steam, and I don't see him really picking it up in a feud against Braxton Sutter.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot to be said the fact that Mike Bennett's contract with TNA is up, yet he's still here, probably working on an event by event basis. No one else looks like they're attempting to sign him right now. Like that whole, I even think it was. Ever since that X Division thing, like maybe even a little before then, it's just been a bunch of nothing with Mike Bennett, in my opinion, unless I'm just forgetting something. And like you said, this thing with Sutter, and you know, I try not to read spoilers, but of course you see certain things and it looks like this is going to be a program for a while. So hopefully they can do more with it, because right now it's just like, why? This was the one thing, as much as higher on the show overall than I was than you, this was the one thing that I'm just like, you can just completely take this out and I don't care. I enjoyed the DCC versus Decay thing more than I enjoyed this. The Allie thing backstage, perfect, did everything it needed to do. Everything after that was just bull.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm not lying when I said this felt like a Russo episode, because it's like you get these short nothing matches built around garbage stories. You get these swerves and shitty gimmicks. I'm telling you, man, he's backstage, bro. that bro. Was a Russo, bro. Yeah, thank you. I swear to God, bro. Ratings. Liberace gimmick in 2017, ratings, bro.
Put Allie on that pole, bro. We're going to have Allie on the pole, man.
Read your mind, bro. I read your mind. Well, after that, okay. So now we move into the last half hour of the show. So that was an hour and a half for me of pain and suffering. And we moved in to Rosemary versus Jade, the first good thing on the show, because Rosemary is fucking badass. And I think that Rosemary is the best thing that has happened to the Knockouts division this year. She's absolutely awesome. Love her as champ. And now they had the promo battle announcing the Monsters Ball match next week, which apparently is a barn burner. So I cannot wait for that.
Really? I haven't seen anything about that. Is it?
So I saw a tweet with pictures of it. And so, I mean, like slight spoilers or anything, but it wasn't like I didn't know who won the match or, you know, I didn't see any film of it or anything. But I mean, all it was just a couple of still images of the craziness going on in the match. And somebody that was at the taping said that they tore the house down, and it was one of the better matches the Knockouts have had ever. So I cannot wait for this match. A Monsters Ball match with the women. I don't think it's ever been done. Obviously, it's never been done because Rosemary hasn't been around. So I just cannot wait for this. Like I said, Rosemary's fucking awesome. Jade's promo, obviously, whatever. But Jade herself is an ass kicker, and she's awesome in the ring. So I cannot wait for this. I was so, like when I said when I saw Allie, but then that was quickly ruined. I don't think this is going to be ruined. I can't wait for these two to lock it up next week.
Oh, no. Even before you said what you saw on Twitter, I completely believe this match is going to be one of those must-see things. It's probably going to be on the next episode of Let Me Talk To You. It's probably going to be something we spend the most time talking about because, A, women don't usually have a match of that sort, but, B, you have two women who are equally talented, probably some of the better workers on the roster, not just women, but in general. I love Jade. Her whole run with the title last year, I completely loved. And I hope that, you know, it continues this year as far as us getting match quality types. And with the matches that we've been getting in WWE on their side of things, it's time for TNA to kick it, make their Knockouts division a must-see again, like it used to be, because it used to be the better women's division. And I'm thoroughly excited for this match. Jade's promo here, it was okay. She's not a good promo overall. Rosemary was great on the mic as usual, great with just her facials and everything there, but I'm sold on this whole idea of a Monsters Ball match between these two. Sign me up. I'm going to be there front and center because I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I mean, especially given the cage match that they had before, which was definitely good, and so I mean they have a good history and this is sure to be fantastic, so I really can't wait for that. Only other thing we had outside of that was the main event for the
Tag Team Championship. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
We have two returns that I'm very excited about. And do you know what the, I know you know what the first return is. What's the second return that I'm happy for?
Well, I mean, you talking Brooke?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I thought that. So the other one was Don West. So we already covered. I thought you said.
No. There is another one. It's Brooke and her. Oh, what she brings to the table.
Yeah. I forget her name. Just do it for embarrassment.
Yeah. But how'd you feel about this interview? How do you feel about the return? Are you excited to have the 3-time Knockouts champion back?
Yeah, I mean, I think she was only gone just because she was pregnant, but because she was around in 2015, or the end of 2015, I remember. I think the Knockouts need as many bodies as they can. I think she's better than, you know, I think that she's definitely good. I thought the interview was good. I think she came off well. She'll be a good face. And, I mean, Knockouts division needs more bodies. She brings more pedigree with that 3-time championship lineage. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you sound like you're pretty excited for this. I mean, I'm happy to see it, but I don't know if I consider myself excited.
I'm excited because, like you said, the Knockouts need bodies. She's solid, and I like to see what storyline they're going to be able to tell with her and what can be done. You know, I mean, quietly, TNA's been collecting quite a women's roster. I mean, you look at it, they have Jade, they have Rosemary, Brooke's back, Sienna's there, Allie, who, even though storyline, she can't wrestle, she's a fantastic wrestler. Laura Van Ness is there. I don't know what's going on with Gail Kim, but TNA is quietly just keep adding to that Knockouts division, and I hope before the end of 2017 we get just a division that can be back highlighted and can wow us and pop eyes and just draw more eyes to the product itself. I like it for what she brings, both character wise and storyline possibilities. I'm thoroughly excited for that.
Yeah, and so outside of Brooke, so like I said, if I forget something, you know, you're more than welcome to interrupt me. Don't feel bad, but it was that main event with the tag team titles on the line between the Hardys and the Wolves. I thought that this match was completely, I don't want to call it boring, but just totally average. It was really long. It's like 17 minutes long. And we got some dissension in the ranks afterwards between the Wolves, which I originally thought going into this match, I was like, well, especially when earlier in the night they had cut a promo with Davey Richards saying that he felt a little bit naked around Eddie Edwards, who had put the gold around his waist. So I thought we were going to get a Davey turn, but it looks like that's going to be happening down the road. And I look forward to that because I think Davey Richards is actually better on the mic than Eddie Edwards. And so I look forward to seeing maybe more of him alone. I think that he can be very good. I haven't been huge on Eddie Edwards during his solo run here. But, so you had a higher opinion of this match. What do you like about it?
I mean, I liked everything about the match. I loved the ending. I absolutely loved the ending. I love how, you know, it was a great tag team match in my opinion. Well, great is too strong of a word. It was really solid. Main event, in my opinion. I like seeing these guys work against each other. I liked it, obviously, more than you. I can't really point to why I liked it more than what you did. I just enjoyed the match. I enjoyed what happened and what developed in the match itself. I don't know. The ending was a little weird to me, just with Davey trying to call Eddie into the ring. It's like, hey, if you got to finish him, just finish him. And the commentary tried to cover it by saying they were trying to stick to the game plan. So that was a little awkward there.
That was a big gripe for me.
Yeah, and I just don't know what they're – well, I know what they're doing. They're going to a split between the wolves, but I've never – and I'm sorry. I've never enjoyed Davey Richard as a solo act. Ever. It's running in ROH when he was the champion there. Didn't like it. I don't know. And I hate to put down one member of the team over the other. Eddie surprised me himself over the solo run when Davey was gone. I just can't say that I'm excited to really see the split between these two guys. And we know it's coming. What about you? How do you feel about the split? Is it something that you want to see? Do you think it's good storytelling wise? I just think it's going to be a piss poor way to get the title off Eddie Edwards when Davey Richards screws him out of it. And that's not a spoiler. I haven't seen anything. That's just me speculating. But I don't know. It just feels like I want to see the Wolves together for a little while, at least earn that breakup. Because right now they haven't been together in almost a year and you're already teasing a breakup. I don't know.
I think the Wolves got really over, and then Davey got hurt. And so the Wolves are really popular. I've enjoyed their matches, but I've never been into the Wolves really themselves. Of course, they're kind of like, you know, just generic tag team. But I look forward to the split. Like I said, Davey Richards I find to be talented on the mic, and I think that he was good throughout tonight. Anytime that, you know, in the ring and backstage. So I think that I look forward to it. And, you know, you say that you're surprised by Eddie Edwards. I was surprised too, but in a negative way. I don't find him convincing at all behind the mic. Again, it's just like generic face that says, like, let's have the match right now. Like, you know, just like, you know, no characterization, no real good storytelling or anything. It was just like, I'm the fighting champion and I've come to fight. Like, you know, that wears old for me. So I will hope
he's from Boston. That's a Boston thing, man. It's
well, maybe they can make it into his gimmick, you know.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I mean, I don't know. The main event. It was more than decent. I think it was solid. But I just the whole episode for me. It was just nothing reached the heights that I'm used to on Impact, and the combination of a bunch of bland matches, some absolutely just it's. Already taking my worst spot of 2017, this Liberace gimmick. It's not, I just do not foresee myself liking this ever. I think that both those guys are talented, but it'll never happen. And just some dud matches, just real boring episode of Impact, but you didn't enjoy it. So what would you rate this episode?
If I had to put a number on it, I'd give it a solid 7. I'm really surprised. Usually it's the other way. I can't remember a time where you were down on an episode and I was up, but I can remember several where you were up and I was down on it. I think this is the first time we have this type of a dynamic, but it was entertaining to me. I enjoyed more things on it than I did not. And the Liberace thing, I'm enjoying. And like you said, you made a very great point there with the whole, if they're just using the flamboyant man to solely draw heat on, if that's what they continue to just rely on, I'll have an issue there, because that is offensive. But hopefully, I'm excited for what storylines they can tell with it. And I can't wait to see who they get in front of them, having feud with. Hopefully, this Robbie E thing is not long for this world, because I don't want to see him go up against Robbie E at all, really.
Yeah, I have no interest in that. Little interest in Robbie E, I guess. Yeah, if I was going to rate this, I would go like 3.
Damn.
I mean,
is that your lowest ranking yet? I think that since we started this podcast, I think that's the lowest you've ever gone.
That's, I mean, by far. I mean, This was worse than most Raws, in my opinion. Maybe, I mean, outside of the Raw with Sasha with her fake retirement and Titus, the infamous Titus promo, where I don't know who you want, but I want Darren. Like, that promo and that episode, this is the worst episode of wrestling I've seen this year. In this calendar, not this calendar year, but over the past 365 days. So, look, I am always the positive. You know, I like wrestling, and I always look for the best in things. But this episode, man, I don't know if I had a maybe it's my long week. I've had little sleep, and you know, marketing's bullshit. But it's like, oh my god, this episode just wore me out, man.
Well, let's just hope that it does not continue. So, and I refresh my memory. This is the second episode with the whole Anthem purchasing it officially in the start of this year. The two episodes so far. How do you feel about the new direction TNA is going? What can you gather from two episodes, 2 hours? I'm sorry, 4 hours of television.
Well, considering the fact that this is by far my lowest rated show, I mean, and this is probably the worst episode of Impact I've seen in like 2 years. So the on-screen product, I'm not super excited about. I was kind of indifferent about last week's episode, and this week's episode was horrible. So it's, I just, on screen, I just hope things get better. I'm hearing negative things about some, I haven't looked at the spoilers, but I'm not hearing good things. So I'm very apprehensive. They're making the right moves backstage, but God, I hope that, you know, that doesn't mean that there's a lot of bad moves going on the screen, because, man, this company made so many strides forward in terms of the quality of the matches and the storytelling and everything in 2016. Everything was good about this show. If I lose that, then God, I'm basically just stuck with SmackDown and NXT, and that's it. That's not what I want to be, man. I'm an Impact guy.
So something I just read is that these tapings were kind of all storylines that were in place even before Corgan left. At least this is what I'm reading right now. I don't know. This was on PW Insider. So it looks like everything here. So we won't start seeing the effects of Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel being back really until the next taping. So I think these tapings take us all the way through February, I believe. So if you haven't liked the show thus far, dig in, my brother, because it seems like you're kind of going to be in line for more of the same, unfortunately. Hopefully it can kick up some, but yeah, with Dutch, even more than Jeff Jarrett, Dutch Mantel being back involved with tapings and writing, I have a lot of high hopes for that. So hopefully as he got more and more involved, hopefully we see it as these set of tapings continue. Hopefully they improve for you. I wasn't as down this episode. I can understand why you were, but I just hope the product improves with having Dutch Mantel and Jeff Jarrett backstage. I have faith in Dutch. I really honestly do.
Yeah, and I look forward to those next round of tapings just to see the noticeable differences. Did not know that Corgan was still responsible for these storylines, so maybe he's not the savior that I once thought he was. But, I look forward to Impact because I know that what they can do. I know their track record over the past year has been very good. There's so much talent on the show. I'll hold out hope, but that hope can be diminished if this continues.
And so, just before we end, I just want to ask, and this is complete speculation, this may or may not go anywhere, this is just me spitballing and getting your idea. So we have potentially the Hardys, Drew Galloway, EC3, maybe Eli Drake, all being potentially, the contracts being up and WWE going after all those guys. How can TNA survive? What can they do to keep WWE from poaching their talent? Any thoughts, any ideas? Does that scare you, the fact that we may lose all those talents here within the next couple of months, maybe even before the next tapings? Like, what does that possibility do for you?
It's not good. I mean, because I don't know who else they go to. I mean, you lose some of those names. You lose the Hardys, man, that's a killer. I mean, that's an absolute killer. I mean, the Impact does not have the deep roster right now that's good enough to, you know, really sustain themselves. Again, over the past two episodes, no X Division. You have to feature these guys. I mean, you lose out Mark Andrews to WWE. We discussed it last week, but it was like you lose him out because you're not using him. You're going to keep losing these X Division guys if you don't use them, and they don't use them. And that's the thing that made TNA what it was, 10 years ago, I feel like sometimes with all these backstage reports that we are living back in 2006, but it's like, if we really want to get back to that, got to promote the X Division, because that is where your roster depth is going to come from. But you, if you don't feature them, then what depth do you have?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. You have to feature the X Division. WWE's pushing the Cruiserweight division, so that style is kind of more mainstream now. You have, well, why not? You have a heck of a roster there, and I keep saying, you have the few that can remake this X Division in Andrew Everett versus Trevor Lee. I'm saying it right now. That feud can reinvigorate the X Division greatly. You still have DJZ. You have talent there. Use them. There should not be one show where the X Division is not at all featured, especially when we're getting this bullcrap DCC stuff on TV. I don't know. It's head scratching. TNA, so far in 2017, I would have to admit, as good as and enjoyable as I found this show, and last week's I was a little down on, they're doing a lot of head-scratching things, and it has me concerned with the creative direction. Honestly, it's a lot of things that concern me. If they were to lose a couple of guys, even if it's not everyone I just listed, if you lose two or three of those guys, I don't really see how they rebound. Honestly, I don't. I don't know. They have not built up new stars as good as I would like to think they have. With, you know, you'd like to think of Eli Drake. You see EC3, and it's like, well, these guys, they really helped build these guys. But it's like, after them, they really haven't really served anyone. Mike Bennett has been a complete flop, honestly, since he's been a TNA. He's had some enjoyable moments, but it's nothing being done with the Moose. I enjoy him in the ring when I see him. But again, this show had no Moose. It had no Impact Grand Championship. You went a show without the two things that make you unique appearing on your TV, and that bothers me. That worries me about this product.
Well, what old is new again? Just when I thought that Anthem was going to come in and save TNA, and we finally wouldn't have to wonder about this company's future, we are once again wondering about this company's future with the potential departure of some wrestlers and some poor storylines. And oh man, I would have rather have been worried about how they're going to fund the next taping and still produce a great on-screen product than have money to fund a shitty on-screen product, to be completely honest. But yeah, I mean, that's all I have on this episode of Impact. This admittedly a drearier episode of Impact. Do you have anything else in store for these listeners right now?
No, well, I do. Just because I find this entertaining, and I presented a question to you and Andrew on Twitter, and that is, if you had to depend on either Dana Brooke or Mahabali Shara to put on a 5-star match, who your pick would be? And I think both of your answers were entertaining, but I want to pose this to the audience, all our listeners. Tweet at Russell World without the Ocast, tweet Verilyn J, anyone in the WWPN. And I want your answers to this question. If you had to depend on Shara or Dana Brooke to put on a 5-star match to save your life, who would it be? Or would you just start digging your own grave? Other than that, I have nothing.
Yeah, dig that grave, baby. Yeah, guys, like he mentioned, I am at VERLANDJ. That's Verland J. So you can catch me there. And, of course, with Russell Worldcast without the O on Twitter. Check us out there. For you in particular, where can they follow you online?
You can follow me at CEOHAIZE. That's CEO Hayes. That's my name. You can follow me there also, but check out thewwpn.com. That is our website. Josh, I know you didn't respond to my message, but we have forums coming up, and I'll tweet out that set up.
I was actually recording with Paolo when you sent that out, and I mentioned it on the NXT pot on Next Level. Slight plug for the Next Level. I was on there with Paolo this week. It's pretty good. So, at the end of that episode, I plugged it. So I might have plugged it a little too soon if it's not actually live yet.
Yeah, it's not live. Luckily, you didn't actually plug it, because I think that was part of what was left off in the edit, I think, with the mics messing up. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just missed it. But yeah, we'll definitely be tweeting that out and sending that out and promoting that once it's at in a better place and ready to go. But it's going to be a place where you can interact. We can all talk wrestling, not just WWE, not just TNA, but all of wrestling. And I'm very excited for it. We've been looking for better ways to interact with our listeners, and that's going to be one of the great ways. It's better than the Facebook discussion board, and so I'm looking very forward to that. Josh, you need to sign up because I'm going to post an embarrassing picture of you on there soon.
Like you even have one.
Exactly.
Those pictures don't exist in me. But stay tuned for the forums, guys. Stay plugged in on all the social medias because, of course, we'll be tweeting it out and interact with us. Love to hear from you guys. That's all I have. Hayes, anything else?
Nothing. Just have a good weekend, people. For anyone who's in the Midwest and who's dealing with this ice storm that I'm currently dealing with, stay in, stay safe, stay warm. Thank you to each and every one of you guys for supporting and listening to our podcast. I love you guys.
All right, everybody, you heard the man. Take it easy.
My brother told me a long time ago, don't focus where you're being, G, focus where you're trying to go. I swear the game make you cold like a bomb and no snowman, oh man.